Full inquests have resumed into the deaths of four soldiers and a civilian killed in IRA attacks on two pubs in Guildford 48 years ago. BBC News.
Read by Jane Steele. Later this evening on Radio 4, the director Baz Luhrmann will be in conversation about his new biopic of Elvis, starring Austin Butler and Tom Hanks, which received a 12-minute standing ovation at this year's Cannes Film Festival. We'll find out why it's getting audiences all shook up in Front Row at 7.15.
From the first serve to game, set and match, it's time to take you behind the scenes and to the heart of SW19.
A very good afternoon from Centre Court.
I'm Jonathan Overend, and throughout the championships, the Wimbledon Daily Podcast will bring you reaction to the biggest stories from the day's play, from a Raducanu masterclass.
She smashes it away to win!
To strawberries and cream on Henman Hill.
The atmosphere here will be loud.
We'll capture just what makes Wimbledon, Wimbledon. The Wimbledon Daily Podcast. Listen on BBC Sounds.
Now on Radio 4, here's Sue Perkins with those famous five words.
Welcome to Just a Minute! Sue Perkins here, and as the minute wars fades away, what a joy to welcome you to Just a Minute. And welcome, of course, to our wonderful live audience who are with us in person today. Let's introduce the four wonderful people who are playing Just a Minute this week. Paul Merton, Zoe Lyons, Ria Lina and Giles Brandreth. Please cheer and weep for all of them. I'll be asking them all to speak on a subject I give them for 60 seconds without hesitation, repetition or deviation. And we're going to begin with Giles. My favourite cocktail. Can you speak for 60 seconds on my favourite cocktail, please, starting now?
I'd love to talk to you about my favourite cocktail because I've no doubt at all what it is. The prawn cocktail. I first enjoyed one back in the 1960s when I visited a hostelry known as the Burnie Inn. And there, this gorgeous cocktail was served to me in what appeared to be an upturned ashtray. Then there was lettuce leaves, and on top of that was the pink crustacean, looking like a little baby's forefinger, covered in sauce Marie-Rose. And before we tucked into the steak that was to follow, and subsequently a coffee with brandy poured into it and double cream...
Sorry. It just got so far away from the cocktail, like...
I'm sorry, it was totally focused on the cocktail.
On this occasion, I will side with Giles because he was still in the zone of the cocktail. I felt we were all at the Burnie Inn with him in the 1960s.
I do find the whole story rather unbelievable that Giles went to a Burnie Inn and had a prawn cocktail. It's like imagining Prince Andrew in a Pizza Hut. It's
I enjoyed the reverie. I would, however, encourage Giles not to dwell too deeply on the steak main, but stick to the prawn cocktail. 18 seconds on my favourite cocktail. Giles, starting now.
If we are talking about a liquid favourite cocktail, I will go for something in a glass that begins with lovely aniseed, followed by berries, and then a touch of cauliflower. Following that should be something beginning with the letter D.
Oh.
Ah, Zoe.
Were there two somethings?
There were, a pair of somethings, yes. Ah.
A pair of somethings.
Yes. And so you get the subject with 2 seconds.
Oh!
Yes, my favourite cocktail. Zoe, tell us about that in 2 seconds, starting now.
Sex on the beach, which is something you shouldn't do in...
Ria, for you, we stay with the high glamour. Putting the bins out. Putting the bins out. You've got 60 seconds to tell us something of that, starting now.
I don't put the bins out because I'm the woman in the relationship, and that is the job of my husband. We live in a place, believe it or not, where they pick up the bins 3 times a day. Yes. At 7 a.m., at 7 p.m., and at 2 a.m. Oh, yeah.
Cool.
2 sevens.
Yeah.
Yes.
And AMs, by the time I got to the end of it.
There were a pair of sevens. So you get the subject, correct challenge, Paul, with 46 seconds on the clock, starting now.
I remember many years ago, I think it was just after the war, and we were encouraged to put the bins out in an attempt to defeat Adolf Hitler. And I think I was the most conscientious and patriotic of all my neighbours at the time because I would put the bins out on a regular basis whether they needed to be put out or not.
Zoe.
So I think it's TV. I think Paul's batteries are running down.
Yeah.
He's due for a recharge, but he's still... you're challenged under the rules.
It was a sort of slight hesitation disguised as an accent. Is that under the rules or have I made that up?
I mean, the rules become very complicated include that.
It could be a sub-rule. I might have invented a sub-rule.
28 seconds. Paul, you have the subject still starting now.
I'm thrilled to have the subject of putting the bins out because it's one of those subjects that comes up and you think to yourself, at last, I get the chance to unburden myself. For many years, I have held secret ideas about putting the bins out, which I didn't share with anybody else. But now, under the auspices of Just a Minute, with Sue Perkins as a chair, I'm at last unable to burden myself and say to everyone...
Oh, Giles.
Repetition of burden.
Oh, yes. Well, thank goodness for that.
Well, the burden of that subject has been released from you. It passes now to the slender shoulders of Giles, with 4 seconds remaining. You fiends today. Your time starts now.
Putting out the bins is how one should say it correctly. I've been infuriated for the last minute by the incorrect...
Giles, speaking as the whistle went, gets the point, and we are with you now, Zoe. What do we have in store? We have a seating plan. A seating plan. Interesting stuff. Your time starts now.
A seating plan is, of course, the most difficult point of a wedding or some sort of large event to organise. A seating plan can be an absolute nightmare. Where shall we put Mother? Who's going to sit beside your racist uncle? It can take up an awful lot of time. A seating plan should be best designed on a sort of map-like thing where you draw circles on a board with little squares beside them for chairs depicting where people will sit. You will spend maybe 2 to 4 weeks plying over this, accurately deciding which each person should be. And then what you do is you tear it up and put it in the bin because nobody will adhere to your seating plan. Oh, God.
Well, a bit of a stumble there.
There was a massive stumble.
As you put it in the bin, which linked us with the previous round.
It did. There was sort of repetition.
Yes. So it was a bit of a hesitation.
There was a stumble. But once again, a very strong effort. You spoke for 40 seconds. Well done. So,
as you say speak, it was like watching tumbleweed fall down a hill uncontrollably, wasn't it?
OK, so 20 seconds remaining, Paul. You've got a seating plan and your time starts now.
When I was putting the bins out the other day, I noticed a seating plan line in the bottom of one of them and I thought, this is intriguing. So I pulled it out and there was the most extraordinary guest.
Rhea.
Out, putting the bins out and pulled it out.
Yes, you're right, because it's no longer the subject on the card, which means it was a correct intention.
Yes.
Well done, Rhea. You get the point, and 11 seconds, you get your subject back, which, to remind everyone, is putting the bins out, and it starts now.
I had a...
No.
A seating plan! There's only one infallible host of this programme, the late, great Nicholas Parsons, and I am full of errors and live in his shadow. A seating plan is absolutely what we're with. So you've got 9 seconds to tell us about that, Rhea, starting now.
The seating plan at my wedding was wonderfully easy to organise because my now husband and I decided to elope. So there was only me and him on the plan.
Yay! Rhea was speaking as the whistle went, means she gets the point. Paul, now something you have a lot of experience with. 60 seconds on. Something you shouldn't touch with a barge pole. What can you tell us about that without hesitating, repeating or deviating, starting now?
I don't know what the typical length of a barge pole would be, perhaps round about 6 feet, maybe. And I suppose that the idea of a barge pole not touching something is you want to be further away from it as far as you can be. During the pandemic, we were all making sure that social distancing was something we were very keen and aware of. Wouldn't touch it with a barge pole. I suppose there must be several examples of things I can think of that I wouldn't touch with a barge pole. Let's start with...
A buzz from Rhea.
Wouldn't. Twice.
Yes. You buzzed correctly, a correct challenge. You get the subject. Something you shouldn't touch with a barge pole. You've got 32 seconds, Rhea, and your time starts now.
In the times of Me Too, which we are in now, as a woman, there are many things that come under the heading of something you shouldn't touch with a barge pole. We are told most men. That's not true. Hashtag not all men people.
Paul!
A repetition of men.
Indeed.
Yeah. Sorry, and apologies.
Indeed.
To all of you that come under that hashtag, apologize. I don't know where that was going.
Good to make that point.
Yeah. Just to be clear.
But just not in a show where repetition is one of the. Correct challenge, Paul. You get the subject back, and you've got 17 seconds starting now.
Something you shouldn't touch with a barge pole is a seating plan. People will not like it at all. And I may also say that one should not put the bins out using a barge pole. Simply, you can't get the lid off properly because the barge pole is shaped in such a way that it makes removing...
Wonderful stuff. Brings us to the end of our first round, and just looking at the scores. In joint third place, Zoe and Giles. In second place, Rhea. And then slightly ahead of that, we have Paul. But we move on to the second round with everything to play for. Giles. Doris Day.
Yeah.
You'd like that, wouldn't you? That's a lovely subject. You fancy that one? Yes, he's nodding in agreement. Can you speak for just 60 seconds about Doris Day? Be great, because we've all got homes to go to, but your time starts now.
I suspect, Sue Perkins, that you have been reading my recently published memoir, and you will know that I went to visit Doris Day some years ago. And in fact, I first asked her if she was related to Darren Day, or Robin Day, or even Cecil Day Lewis. She said no. In fact, my real name is Doris Kuppenhall, and Day was an affected name when she became a movie star and entertainer. I looked at her, her little freckled face puckered up with delight, and suddenly there was born an April to September romance. I was indeed 30 years her junior, but the erotic charge between us was electric. She said to me, "You're giving me something Rock Hudson never could." And I have to tell you, that was the case. And a romance blossomed, and the excitement continued for many months. We began singing together, Que sera, and then I couldn't repeat it because I didn't want to. I tiptoed through the daffodils with her. I held her hand, her body came close to mine, and I thought, Doris Day, you are the busy person in my life.
I'll tell you what, with that level of intensity, I can see why her face was puckered when you approached her. Well done, Giles. You not only were speaking as the whistle went, but you spoke for the whole minute, which garners you the extra point. Oh. Fabulous, and what a shot in the arm. Right, Rhea, we move to you now. Dressing for dinner is your subject. What's your rule of thumb? Do you have any tips? We shall find out. Dressing for dinner, your 60 seconds starts now.
Dressing for dinner was something they used to do in the 17th and 18th century. They would start the morning with...
Zoe.
Oh, there was a little bit of a hesitation.
There was a little bit.
They were struggling to get into their corsets, I think.
That's a correct challenge from you, Zoe. Well done. 52 seconds, my lovely. Dressing for dinner, your time starts now.
Thousand Island is my favourite dressing for dinner. I liberally pour it upon my gem lettuce leaves and enjoy the tangy flavours. Dressing for dinner is something I insist upon when people come round to my said abode for a dining experience. Nudity is not allowed. I require at very base level smart casual, which could be a bow tie and a nappy. You decide. Who makes the rules? I don't. It's certainly confusing in this day and age. Dressing for dinner is something that can be quite fun. Perhaps pop on a little hat, or some booties, or some gloves on...
Oh. There were two quick awesomes.
Yes, a correct challenge.
Awesome and awesomes.
Awesome.
Or awesome.
That was so painful, I'm going to give you a point.
Thank you.
I loved it so much. But it was a correct challenge by Paul. So he gets the subject, dressing for dinner. 14 seconds, starting now.
I was dressing for dinner once with Doris Day when somebody was ringing at the doorbell and she said, "Oh, my God, it's Giles Brandreth. Quick, hide."
Giles.
Deviation. Doris, never. This never happened. We were the other...
other side of the door.
I mean, no.
She said to me she'd moved house three times.
I'm sorry, this literally never happened.
So let me get this right. My Doris Day story isn't true, but your one is.
Yeah. Yeah.
And as an ex-Tory MP, can you put your hand on your heart and say to the British public...
Oh, he can put his hand on his heart. It's the next bit that's the problematic. Giles has made himself the keeper of all things Doris Day, and I'm
the
inclined...
subject is dressing for dinner.
Yes, we were dressing for dinner. There was a knock on the door, and it was you. She said, quick, hide in the cupboard.
No.
Repetition of no.
Giles gave a correct challenge, started speaking, Paul gave a correct challenge, and now gets the subject back again with... 10 seconds you have
ten.
On the clock. 10! So, 10 seconds starts now.
Dressing for dinner is something I'm not particularly accomplished.
Giles.
It's a bit harsh, but that is the third something
it
in this
subject.
It is
the third something.
Is it?
Yeah.
It is, yes.
I wish I'd said Doris Day now. I only said that once.
It's a repetition of something, so with 6 seconds. Good Lord, let's hear what Giles has got to say. About dressing for dinner, brace yourselves. There'll be a cummerbund in there, no doubt. Time starts now.
Dressing for dinner can be such fun if you have a cummerbund that really suits you and is purple on the outside, but...
Right, Zoe, we're with you. Pull your finger out. Sorry, that's your subject. It wasn't an accident. Pull your finger out is your subject, and your time, your 60 seconds, starts now.
Pull your finger out, of course, means get a move on. Move quicker, do something...
Oh, Rhea.
Move.
Yes,
oh,
move.
Gosh. Wow, that's a record even for me, surely. That's...
5 seconds.
If it makes you feel better, I don't want this one either.
Did I say move or move on? I mean...
Yeah, I was wondering that.
Yeah, move on.
The thing is that move I have on. Already given of my benefit boon to
Pull
you.
Your digital to move on?
No. You cannot say it just
it's
in
harsh.
A different accent. It does not work.
Okay.
Could one argue that move on has a hyphen? Get a move on? I don't know.
You might argue, but it doesn't. So... slight waste of your beloved breath, I would say. Rhea, that was a correct challenge. There was a repetition of move, and whether you like it or not, you have the subject of pull your finger out, starting now.
Pull your finger out is a very British phrase, which means apparently something that Zoe said, but to me, when people put their fingers out, it means they're going to fart, and I don't like that. So pull your finger out as a phrase is not one that you'll find me using on a regular basis. If anything, it's pull your fingers in, please. I don't want to smell that. Yeah, fair enough.
Never has the cultural divide seemed wider.
The Atlantic feels very large,
it does,
doesn't it?
Yes.
Your challenge, Paul.
Hesitation.
Yeah.
I would agree with that.
I had no idea where to go from there.
So, Paul, that's a correct challenge. You've got 30 seconds on pull your finger out starting now.
30 seconds, what a joy. The boy had his finger stuck in the dike, and it was there because he was trying to stop the land all around being flooded. A nearby passerby approached him and said, "Why do you have your finger stuck?"
Rhea,
finger stuck.
Oh, I've written down finger stuck here instead of finger out. So I thought I was repeating what was on the card,
but
it's not.
Yeah, no. Well, listened, Rhea. Yeah, it's finger out, not finger stuck. So, yes, you get the subject
Absolutely.
You hate back.
I'd love to hear more.
Yes. Your wish is my command. 16 seconds worth, Rhea. Your time starts now.
The passerby wondered why the boy had his finger stuck in the dike. And the boy said, yeah,
Zoe.
No, I don't know where that was going.
She's doing my material.
The aforementioned dike?
No.
She didn't repeat it, though. She was repeating Paul's.
Oh, I have played this game so many times, and that's the first time I've realised that. Oh. Wow, I am learning so much today. Thank you, everybody.
It's all right. Part of the BBC's mission is to educate and inform. Sadly, not tonight entertain, and I take a lot of responsibility. Hence, Paul was allowed to say Doris Day because...
Of course, I should have picked up on that, but I was having a little nap with my eyes open. Sorry.
Is that nap or nap?
A nap. I was napping. It was awesome.
So an incorrect challenge, though, which means you keep the subject, Ria. You've got 10 seconds, still going. Pull your finger out, starting now.
The story Pull Your Finger Out can be shortened to say the young lad did not pull his finger out and the perambulator was not listened to and the Dutch are...
Oh.
Repetition of not.
Yes.
Did not.
Repetition of not. And you've got the subject back with 1 second. And that 1 second begins now. Right, Paul, we are with you, under the floorboards. Let's see what you've got lurking under yours. Under the floorboards, 60 seconds starting now.
I've always had a keen interest to find out what's under my floorboards in whichever house I've lived in. I remember the very first establishment, I was 8 years old, and I dug up the floorboards, and there I saw Giles Brandreth and Doris Day in a physical embrace, and I could tell by the look on her face that she'd been heavily sedated, and there was something in her eyes that pleaded for help, and so I got on to the police, who buzzed
Giles.
In. Oh, I was going to say it's not true now.
The timing of this doesn't quite work because you say you were 8 and I hadn't at that stage met Doris Day.
Well, you said earlier you were 30 years younger than her. That doesn't work out either.
Yes, I do believe Giles may have been hoist.
You're quite right. I was 40 years younger, but I'm a gentleman.
That's not what she said.
Well, now it's been established that both of you are lying. I shall give Giles a point for his wonderful comedic interjection, but I think Paul should retain the subject. I'm very keen to hear all about what's under the floorboards. Shay Merton, 37 seconds remaining, starting now.
The first flat I bought needed some new electrical wiring put in, so my flatmate and I decided that we would...
Oh, sorry, I heard two flats and I didn't allow for the... I'm so sorry, Paul, that was
I'm
my fault.
I'm not sure about the hyphen.
Incorrect challenge, 30 seconds, under the floorboards, starting now.
Installed the electricity ourselves, so we crawled underneath the floorboards with these wires in our teeth.
Oh, sorry. No, as you were. As
you were. You buzzed. You have to give us a challenge.
What no, was your... it was just a twitch.
We've entered the involuntary spasm part of the show. Incorrect challenge, though, so he keeps the subject. 24 seconds, starting now.
Edgar Allan Poe specialised in writing stories where people were found hidden under the floorboards, perhaps some rotting away body that was discovered decades after it had first been put there. I remember reading one of his stories once and being absolutely enthralled by the gothic horror that he created.
Giles.
I remember... He remembered earlier the encounter that didn't happen, but he nonetheless claimed to remember.
If it didn't happen, how could I remember it?
There is such a thing as false memory syndrome.
Says the man who had an affair with Doris Day.
Whilst I can't get into the veracity of Giles under a floorboard giving a drugged Doris Day a hearty embrace, witnessed by an 8-year-old Paul Merton.
That's what convinced me to go into show business.
Pivotal moment. I can attest to the fact there was a double remember, so with 6 seconds remaining, you have the subject under the floorboards, Giles, starting now.
When I was lying under the floorboards, wondering why pull your finger out should be out pull your finger.
At the end of that round, Zoe slightly trailing, but it's a very close-run thing. Just 1 point separating each one of our panellists. In third position, Rhea. In second, Giles. And narrowly ahead is Paul Merton. And we're now entering, sadly, the final round.
Oh.
I know. Zoe, we're with you for this last one. Bob the Builder.
Oh.
Ah, Bob the Builder, that's a nice one. Tell us what you know about that without hesitating, repeating or deviating for 60 seconds, starting now.
I have had to employ a builder recently to look at the back of my building as it is exposed to...
Paul.
Sadly, hesitation.
Yes, indeed, a builder back of the building was probably...
Yeah.
..a B bridge too
it
far.
It was too much.
Correct challenge, Paul. 54 seconds, please, on Bob the Builder, starting now.
I asked Bob the Builder to build me a wall, brick by bricks.
Oh! Oh, you...
Should have known.
It's a classic Mattonian trope. He lures you in. So, incorrect challenge. You keep the subject, Paul. 50 seconds starting now.
Bob the Builder, I believe, is a character created for the entertainment of children. I have none of those myself, so my exposure to this exemplary character's exploits...
Giles.
Characters.
There was a little...
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
I bow to your superior argument.
Don't let him in like that, Paul. No. Create a monster. Yeah. But I sense there was a bit of hesitation.
There was a little bit. Let's hear all about Giles and Bob the Builder's exploits. He built a love shed for him and Doris Day.
Oh, I sense we'll hear a lot about that in the 40 seconds remaining. Starting Giles now.
I'm not surprised that Paul is feeling a bit sensitive and nervous because I'm going to tell everybody about my Bob the Builder costume, which goes with another costume. Oh, and I was going to tell you about Paul's Farm and Sam outfit.
Well, I'm sure Paul's relieved he buzzed in then.
Yes.
What's your challenge?
Repetition of costume.
Yes,
absolutely. You get the subject back. 30 seconds, starting now.
Bob the Builder said to me, I can give you three estimates. One is accurate, the other two are just mere flights of fancy. So I said to Bob the Builder...
Rhea.
Said.
Oh.
Yes. Is that not allowed?
It's a small word.
It's a small word.
I've given you two me's.
Little
two
bit small.
Of latitude.
Okay.
I'm going to give you the point because you're factually correct, but I'm going to give the subject back to Paul.
I can live with that.
It's like I have kind of like, I don't know, a governmental approach to these rules. In a sense, it's not for me to uphold them, it's for you to take personal responsibility about how you feel about them.
It explains the suitcase full of wine under your desk as well.
If someone's in the middle of a roll, a small word we can let go. But it was technically a correct challenge and I must therefore award you the point. But I'm going to hear, in 20 seconds, what else Paul has to say about Bob the Builder starting now.
Bob the Builder created the most magnificent greenhouse for me in which I put a botanical...
Giles.
I think we had created a children's character earlier.
Yes, we did. Oh. It was a repetition.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Please, dear Lord, let 15 seconds not be enough for him to describe the costume of Bob the Builder.
Oh. I'm glad this is radio.
Your time starts now.
It's in the cupboard with my Andy Pandy suit and my gorgeous little outfit that I wore during younger and happier days when I used to dress up as Baba the Elephant.
Oh, Baba's one word, isn't it? Yes, yeah. I thought it might be repetition. No, it's one word.
No, it's one word. It and is, there's still two hideous seconds for him. Conjure further horror starting now.
Bob the Builder is my kind of superhero. What a great man.
Well done. Speaking as the whistle went, as he often does, Giles gets the point. And at the end of the show, of course, we're going to tally up some scores. Rhea and Zoe are in joint third position. Just 1 point ahead of them is Paul. And tonight's winner, a point ahead of Paul, is Giles Brandreth. And there we leave you. But first of all, thank you. What a show. To my delightful players of the game today, Paul Merton, Zoe Lyons, Rhea Lina and Giles Brandreth. We are indebted, of course, to Ian Messiter, who devised this simple but magnificent show. And, of course, to our beloved Nicholas Parsons, who chaired Just a Minute for over 50 magnificent years. We also thank Caroline Barlow for blowing her whistle so beautifully. The producer was Richard Morris, and this was a BBC Studios production. And this is me, Sue Perkins, saying thank you so much for listening, and please do join us again next time we play Just a Minute.
And next Monday, Paul Merton, Pippa Evans, Tony Hawkes and Susie Raphael try to complete the fiendishly difficult Perfect Minute.
Hello, I'm Robin Ince. Sat next to me is Brian Cox, and the Infinite Monkey Cage is coming back to Radio 4. But when is it going to be, Brian?
We're moving to Saturday evening at 7:15. When the BBC said to me, right, this is it, you are on Saturday evening, 7:15, I thought they meant strictly.
Well, that does explain the Cuban heels, which, by the way, you carry off very, very well.
An irreverent look at the world through scientists' eyes.
We're going to cover black holes, deep oceans, bats versus flies.
The fly is pretty fly-based. Batman has a belt.
We've got Brendan Hunt, we've got Sarah Pascoe, Katie Brown, Dave.
The Infinite Monkey Cage. New for Saturday nights at 7:15 on Radio 4 and BBC Sounds.
BBC News at 7 o'clock. The biggest rail strike for 30 years will go ahead tomorrow after talks between the RMT union and employers broke up. Tens of thousands of workers are expected to walk out at midnight and on Thursday and Saturday in a row about pay and jobs. Kevin Groves from Network Rail said progress in the dispute is dependent on the RMT agreeing to adopting new ways of working.
If we're able to bring those modern practices into the way we do and run the railway, that could save hundreds of millions of pounds, and that could be transferred into savings and a better pay offer we could put on the table.
An independent review has concluded that Oldham Council and Greater Manchester Police failed to protect some children from grooming and sexual exploitation. The report says the offences happened between 2011 and 2014, and in one case, officers missed opportunities to help a 12-year-old girl who was raped. Both police and the council have apologised. The Foreign Office has issued an apology on behalf of five Britons who've been released from detention by the Taliban in Afghanistan. The statement expressed regret for any breach of Afghan culture, customs and laws, and said it was a mistake for the group to have travelled there against official advice. The European Union's head of foreign policy has described Russia's blockade of Ukrainian ports as a war crime. Josep Borrell was speaking as the bloc's foreign ministers met to discuss the global food crisis. Millions of tons of grain are trapped in the country, pushing up prices around the world. But Moscow blames Western sanctions. EasyJet has scrapped thousands of summer flights, claiming it wanted to avoid last-minute disruption. The company said it's still finalising which services will be affected. George Orwell's classic novel Animal Farm is to be translated into the Scots language for the first time. The book is one of nine titles to be translated thanks to funding from the Scots Language Resource Network. BBC News.
We're off to Ambridge in a moment, then in 15 minutes here on Radio 4, we'll meet a rather unusually taxidermied walrus, one of the star attractions at South London's Horniman Museum. We'll hear why the small but mighty establishment has just been shortlisted for the Art Fund Museum of the Year when we take a tour in front row at 7:15. On BBC Radio 4.
My name's Amy Mason.
My name's Edson Burton.
I'm a writer.
I'm a writer.
From Bristol.
Based in Bristol.
From fact to fiction. Fictional stories inspired by real-life headlines.
Go through the news on the Monday, find a story that I feel like I'd be able to write something creative about.
By Wednesday, I should have finalised the script.
I think we record on the Thursday and it goes out on the Friday, so it's a really frantic week.
From fact to fiction.
It's incredibly empowering to feel that you've been able to create a drama in such a short space of time.
Friday afternoons at 3:45 on Radio 4 and BBC Sounds. Now on Radio 4, it's the Archers, and Alice and Adam are at the playground.
Xander, careful!
Oh, he's so sweet with her.
Yeah, he is.
Oh, this is really nice, hanging out with you and the kids.
I know. We should do it more.
Yes, please. That'd be great.
Xander!